Let me call your attention now to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. John, chapter 10. We were in this passage last Lord's Day, and we come to it once again because we have not one but two I am statements by our Lord Jesus here in this passage, of which there are seven in the Gospel of John. And so this is the fourth in the series now. And so we come to verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. May God bless the reading of his word. The previous I am here in John chapter 10, we saw in verse 9, I am the door. And though these two statements, I am the door and I am the good shepherd, come close in proximity. And in a way, they cover the same ground. Because as we saw last time, the shepherd is the door of the sheepfold. Nonetheless, these are distinct statements and we want to consider them as such. I again point out that the Lord is using a very common and familiar subject here in this comparison, this metaphor that he gives concerning himself. I am the good shepherd. Shepherding was a common occupation in that culture for both men and women. We read in the Old Testament the daughters of families who were shepherds also. The Lord, as we have seen, said, I am the bread, I am the light, I am the door. These common everyday things that even a child can understand and that we're all familiar with. And it's the same here. I'm the shepherd. Now, I don't know that any of us here have any sheep, but we're not the same kind of agrarian culture as they were in those days. But thanks to books and pictures and maybe grandparents or something, many of us are familiar a little bit at least with sheep and animals. And so the simplicity of these illustrations is marvelous. As far as a shepherd is concerned, in our day, because we are so far removed from it, you may have a neighbor that has some sheep or you know someone that does, but unless you do, we tend to sort of idealize the occupation and romanticize the occupation. Maybe an artist's picture has kind of given us this idea of this ideal life of a shepherd. Sitting down, you know, resting in soft grass with his flock hovering around him, watching the clouds overhead, no worries. Just the sound of a gentle stream going by and a little lamb coming and licking our toes or something like that. The reality of shepherding in Jesus' day and in Bible times was very different. It was long hours, regardless of the weather, heat by day, cold by night, especially if you were a shepherd who did not have the convenience of a fold like we talked about last time, and those who were more just a shepherd off by himself or even herself, they would be continually occupied with caring for the sheep, watching for strays that would wander off, being vigilant against wolves and other beasts and predators. Long, lonely days, little food. In that setting, a close bond would grow between the shepherd and the sheep. He would know each one of them, their peculiar personality and tendencies and manner. And of course, the sheep know the shepherd. They recognize his voice. A man with sheep told me many years ago, no one should ever pastor a church before he spends at least a couple of years tending sheep in a field. Well, I guess that would knock out many of us, but that experience made passages like this so come alive to that dear brother that was his thought. Well, we want to consider two verses in particular here today. The two verses where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And those are verses 11 and 14. He says it not once, but twice. Just as he said, I am the door, not once, but twice, also here in this chapter. So verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So let's just take these things one by one. First of all, Christ is the shepherd of his sheep. The very English word shepherd denotes a sheep herder, one who herds the sheep. That is, one who tends after them, cares for the ones who are his. And the Lord Jesus Christ tends and cares for those whom he calls my sheep. My sheep. His people. Those who have been given to him as a special possession by the Father in heaven. When the Lord Jesus said here, I am the good shepherd, he is saying something profound. He is identifying as God. He is proclaiming that he is Jehovah. Because we read, for example, in the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. These are the words of David. The Lord is my shepherd. Jesus comes to earth, takes the form of a man, and he says, I'm the shepherd. And what's he saying? He's saying, I'm the one that David wrote about. I'm the one, Lord, all capitalized there. The Lord is my shepherd. Jesus is Jehovah. Take again the 80th Psalm. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. The one who sits on the mercy seat, as it were, there in the tabernacle, dwells between the cherubims. He is the one that is identified as the shepherd of Israel, who leads his people like a flock. And again, when Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd, he is saying in so many words, I am God. I am Lord over all. And those who heard him say these things understood perfectly that he was implying that and declaring that. Those today who say that Jesus never claimed deity have simply never honestly read the scriptures. I don't know how else to say it. Or they've read with blinders on their eyes. Their heart is blinded to the truth. Even Jesus' enemies understood this. Right here in chapter 10, when Jesus says in verse 30, I and my Father are one, it says the Jews then took up stones to stone him, and he answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee, not but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. They understood exactly what Jesus was saying when he said, I am the shepherd. Let us understand it. Secondly, Jesus says, not just I'm the shepherd, but he says, I'm the good shepherd. And that adjective is important because it draws the contrast between other shepherds who are bad shepherds. And some of those are described in verse 8. Well, the thieves and robbers, they would certainly be bad shepherds, shepherds of the worst kind, shepherds that would lead to death. But in verses 12 and 13, here are some more bad shepherds, those that are called a hireling, that is one who's just in it for the money. He doesn't have any heart for the sheep, doesn't care for the sheep. He's just in it for what he can get out of it. He that is an hireling, he's not worthy of the name shepherd. He's not really a shepherd at all. He sees the wolf coming, and what does he do? Protect the sheep? No, he abandons them, leaves them, runs to save his own life. And the wolf catches the sheep, scatters them. The hireling flees, he says, verse 13, because he is a hireling. He cares not for the sheep. Peter draws on this, by the way, when he speaks of under-shepherds, those who serve the Lord's people as pastors. In fact, and when you see the word pastor in the New Testament, it's the word shepherd. It's the same root or the same original word. Peter says to the elders, feed the flock of God which is among you. There's the same illustration, the flock of God. Taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. And notice, not for filthy lucre, not for money, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, that's who Christ is. He's the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd. When he shall appear, ye shall receive, he says, a crown of glory that fadeth not away. It is vital that pastors on earth not be hirelings in it for money and what they can personally gain. Certainly, Christ is the good shepherd. He's the perfect shepherd. He does not abandon his people in time of difficulty. He stays with us and he protects us. He is the good shepherd in that he truly cares about his people. He provides for us. He guides us. In time of need, he restores our soul. These are all the terms of the 23rd Psalm you recognize. With him as a shepherd, none of his sheep are lost. None wander astray, but that he goes and brings them back. Not one of them is lost. He is truly the good shepherd. We might even say he is the best shepherd. And in the sense of being our redeemer, he's the only shepherd. His goodness and mercy follows his people all the days of their life. Again, think of that in connection with this. I'm the good shepherd, and in that 23rd Psalm, surely goodness will follow me all the days of my life. The goodness of Christ as a shepherd is prophesied by Isaiah in the Old Testament. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Notice the verbs in that verse from Isaiah. Feeding, gathering, carrying, and leading. These are the things that a good shepherd does. And these are things that Christ does for those who believe in him, his sheep, those given him by the Father to be his flock. This is what he does for us. He feeds us, he gathers us to himself, he carries us, and leads us. I read also some verses earlier from Ezekiel chapter 34. Let me just read a couple of those again. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will search my sheep and seek them out. Reminds us of when Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they've been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. Here's a passage in which, prophetically speaking of Jesus Christ, he is called David. Now, David had been dead for many years. He was in the grave. Ezekiel, by inspiration, speaks of a future David, a coming David who will be a shepherd. And who is that? Oh, he identified himself right here in John chapter 10. I'm the good shepherd. Now let's consider the measure of his goodness. How good is the shepherd? How good is Christ as a shepherd? We see the ultimate expression at the end of verse 11. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And the phrase giveth his life here is the same word translated lay down in verse 15 at the end when he says, I lay down my life for the sheep. It's again in verse 17, I lay down my life that I might take it again. Verse 18, I lay it down of myself. This is what a good shepherd does for his sheep. He lays down his life. What shepherd have you ever heard of that died defending his flock from a wolf? Our Lord Jesus Christ gave his life to save you and me as his sheep. This is the supreme demonstration of love. For the shepherd to count the life of the sheep more precious than his own, so that he would rather die to protect and defend them than that they should die. We do see in David, in the Old Testament, an illustration of such love. We read in 1 Samuel 17 how that David, while he was watching his father's flocks, had a lion to come along. And what did David do? Did he run for his life? No, he stood firm and he killed the lion. I've never wrestled with a lion. I don't think it would end very well for me. David killed a lion defending the sheep. He risked his own life, in other words. And then he goes on to say, there was a bear that came. Have you ever killed a bear? He didn't have a big 44 Magnum. What did he use? Did he use his sling? Did he knock him senseless with a big club? We don't know. But all we know is David killed the lion and the bear, protecting his father's sheep. Christ engaged himself to save and protect the father's sheep. And he did so to the death. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Greater love is not imaginable. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Christ would rather die than that one of his sheep be destroyed, be lost. He would rather die than one of his people remain unredeemed in their sins and subject to the righteous judgment of God against them for their sins. He laid down his life for the sheep. Oh, what faithfulness, what loyalty. That's how good a shepherd he is. And I want you to look, if you will, at one little preposition here that is very important. It's the word for, F-O-R. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. This little preposition in this context means in behalf of, in the place of. We have here in this simple text, with these simple terms, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, we have the principle and the truth of substitutionary atonement. Christ dying in the place of his people. Some say that his death was simply an example for us. But he's saying more than that here. He doesn't just say, I'm the good shepherd and I set an example for you. He's saying, I give my life for you. Again, some wrongly teach that his death was just to inspire people to be willing to suffer. And he was an inspiring martyr for his cause. And that's all they see in Christ on the cross. That, my friends, is not the gospel. That is not the substitutionary death that he speaks of here, giving his life for the sheep. It was his life for ours. His life in place of ours. By his death, we receive life. His death secures our life. He died our death so that we might live his life. His soul was made an offering for sin, Isaiah 53 tells us. His death is what secured our life. This is the gospel. This is a real atonement wrought by Christ, not a hypothetical possibility, not simply to make people redeemable or bring us up to a higher level so that we could save ourselves. His dying actually saves and gives us this life. I lay down my life for the sheep. The effect of his death is to put away our sin. This is the judicial effect of his death. He's a sacrifice for sin. By his blood we are purchased, it says in Acts chapter 20. The transaction is completed on the cross when he purchased us with his own blood. And as far as our experiential, or as the experiential effects of his death are concerned, that's what's spoken of here by our Lord, in which we receive life. He gives his life for the sheep. We receive eternal life from him. Not only are our sins put away and our account settled before God, reconciled to God once and for good by the death of Christ, but also in his death, we receive life. We enter into life. He gives up his life so that we can have it. Well, thank God. On the third day, Christ arose from the dead, triumphant over the grave. And now he lives. And he lives forever, never to die again. And all who are his sheep, all who believe in him have life in him and with him. We are in saving union with him. And so this is the marvelous thing. In any other case, if there were ever any other shepherd anywhere on this earth who, instead of killing the lion and the bear, was killed by the lion or the bear, then that would have been the end of the story. But with Christ, the story doesn't end in the grave. It ends in resurrection. And by God's providence, we'll consider more on that next Lord's Day, God willing. But I can't wait till then to tell you Christ rose from the dead. And he's a living shepherd who guides and guards and feeds and protects and takes us to his fold. Now, having considered some here, verse 11, let's look at verse 14. Here he says the same thing at the beginning. I am the good shepherd. But now notice what he says. And know my sheep and am known of mine. Matthew Henry quaintly calls this the mutual acquaintance of the shepherd and his sheep. But oh, what an acquaintance it is. It's not just a casual acquaintance like you may have with someone that you see once in a while and you may know their name or know their face and you wave or whatever. No, when he says, I know my sheep and am known of mine, this is a special, intense, personal, intimate acquaintance. It's what is described in the Old Testament in these words, Amos 3:2. God says to Israel, "You only have I known of all the families of the earth." Now, there were a lot of families on the earth, a lot of nations on the earth in those days. But God says to Israel, "You're the only one that I know." He knew about the others, but he knew Israel in a peculiar and special and intimate way. It's the same knowledge or acquaintance that is spoken of in the New Testament when we read in 2 Timothy 2:19, "The Lord knoweth them that are His." This is the knowledge of His own sheep that the shepherd has. And of course, being God, the Lord Jesus knows everything. But He knows His people in a peculiar and special way. He approves of them. He accepts them. The word "know" here in John 10:14 is synonymous with love. The flavor of the verse amounts to this: "I'm the good shepherd and love my sheep and am loved of mine." It's this intimate knowledge, this special saving knowledge that is spoken of here. And I was referring to this earlier when I said, through all of the time together and the difficulties and the opportunities, the shepherd and his sheep have a close bond that develops between them. That's what Jesus is talking about here. "I know my sheep and am known of mine." There's a reciprocal love here. He knows and loves us who believe in Him as our Savior and submit to Him as our Lord. He knows us, and because He does, we know Him. Because He loves us, we love Him. That's exactly what John says in 1 John 4:19, isn't it? And the Apostle Paul says something similar in Galatians when he says, "You have known God," or rather, "are known of God," or "known by God." There is this mutual acquaintance and a mutual possession. He calls us His. "I'm the good shepherd and know my sheep." He uses the word "mine" to describe us there at the end of the verse as well. He owns us as His own. He claims us as His own. And we claim Him as ours. We say, "The Lord is my shepherd. He's mine. I'm His. I am my beloved's. My beloved is mine." In the Song of Solomon, He counts it a joy to serve us. We count it a joy to serve Him. Think of this. We read in 1 John chapter 3 that the world doesn't know us because the world didn't know Him. That is, the world doesn't love and appreciate and approve of Christians because it didn't love and appreciate and approve of Christ Himself. But to be known by Christ more than compensates. Hear me now. It more than compensates for the rejection by this world. And child of God, think what it will be on Judgment Day to hear Jesus declare to those who are lost in their sins, "I never knew you." As McShane says in that hymn, "Then I will know how much I owe to Him as my shepherd." I hope that some here today are asking a question like this: how may I know that I am His sheep? How may I know that he is my shepherd? Well, according to John 10:14, we can answer this way. Do you know him? Do you love him? Is he all in all to you? Is it your greatest delight to know him and to trust him and to look to him? If you know him, then there's no doubt that he knows you and that he is your shepherd and that you are his sheep. That's just a deduction from what he says here. I'm the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Do you know him? Do you love him? And further answer to that question, how may I know that he's my shepherd and I'm his sheep? We find in verse 27. And I'll just read this and point out a couple of things here. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. His sheep are safe in his hand. Well, then how can I know that I'm one of his sheep? In verse 27, there are two answers, two tests that are put to us here. Number one, do you hear his voice? It is characteristic of his sheep to hear his voice. And those who have experienced tending sheep as farmers tell us exactly this. The sheep pay no attention to other voices, but when the shepherd speaks, they perk up and they listen. And I may have told you this story before, but there's a story of a man who, a Westerner who was traveling over in Palestine, and he wanted to test this principle. And he exchanged clothes with the shepherd of the sheep. And he said, I don't think it's your voice, I think it's your clothes that they recognize. And so he puts on the shepherd's clothes and he walks around and calls the sheep, and they paid him no attention whatsoever. And the true shepherd, still wearing the other man's clothes, calls the sheep, and they heard his voice, and they came. Now this is the question for us today. Do we hear his voice? Or let me put it to you in this way. Has he called you to himself? Have you heard his call? Have you heard his voice? We read in verse 3, he calls his own sheep by name. It's a very specific, personal, inward call. It's as if you're the only one out there and he's talking to you and he says, come to me. Trust in me. Come to me now. As you read his word, as you read the word of the shepherd, do you hear his voice? Does he speak to you? Does scripture resonate in your soul? If so, you may know that he is your shepherd and you're his sheep because his sheep hear his voice. And the second thing here is the sheep follow him. Those to whom he is shepherd have the characteristic of following him, being led by him. Does Jesus guide your life? As you walk through this life, are you following his guide and his leadership? In other words, is he your Lord? Is he your master? Is he your governor? Do you stay close to him? Do you follow him? Do you refuse to follow others so that you can follow him? These are solemn questions to ponder. But if in sincerity you can say, yes, he has my ear. I hear his voice. Yes, he has my feet. I follow him. He has my heart. I know him. I love him. And you may be assured that he is your shepherd and that you are his sheep. Friends, let this be our chief purpose for living, our chief quest in life, to know Christ as our shepherd, to hear his voice, to follow him, and to love him, to know him. To know the redeeming love of God in Christ is the greatest thing that a person can know. And it's so sad that it is made so cheap today. And people take it for granted. Everyone seems to take it for granted. Well, of course Jesus loves me, they say. That's so basic. Everybody knows. He loves everybody, does he? He doesn't love everybody the same way. Not everybody is his sheep. If you're still in John chapter 10, look at verse 26. He says to the proud, self-righteous Jews who rejected him, "Ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you." No, not everybody is his sheep. Not everybody is the object of special saving love. And so when you see that he ought to hate you for your sin against him, then to know that he loves you as a shepherd and brings you to himself as his sheep, oh, his love comes to be an amazing thing, an enormous thing, a delightful thing. Nothing to be taken for granted. It's the greatest thing a person can know. The greatest thing a person can experience. Those who are not his sheep do not love him, do not hear his voice, and do not follow him. And so, the only conclusion to draw is, he didn't lay down his life for them. Let that sink in. He gives his life for the sheep. For those who are not his sheep, those who remain in unbelief, their sins are yet to be answered for. They have not been atoned for. And those who die in their sins will have to answer to God and be punished forever by God for their own sins. He says, "I lay down my life for the sheep." And he turns around and says to these self-righteous ones, "You're not my sheep." That ought to make us catch our breath. The idea today is, oh, Jesus died for everybody and everybody's saved whether they know it or not. Listen, I hear that message so often that it's sickening. To know that Christ is your shepherd means to know that he died for you, and that's a very special, special knowledge and blessing. And so, if you're not among his sheep today, in your own heart, I want you to consider how dangerous a position you are in. Without him, you're lost, you're in danger, you're deceived, you're wandering, you are easy prey for the wolf and for the enemy of your soul. You're headed for destruction. You're headed for eternal death and eternal torment. Outside of Christ, there is only danger and deception and death. My friend, you need the shepherd. you need Christ as your shepherd. You need to come to Him, and He will take you in, and you will know that He's your shepherd as you hear His voice and as you follow Him. And yes, thank God, you'll come to know that He had you in mind when He died on the cross. Come to Him. Hear His voice. Begin to follow Him now.